We're looking at Psalm 62 this morning under the title of Strength and Love. If you've got the psalm in front of you, which would help us all, just cast your eyes down, please, to the final two verses. And David declares that God is strong and that God is loving. And friends, we desperately need to know and experience that God is strong when we are not strong, when nothing in life is strong and secure. And we desperately need to know that God is loving, where people's love lets us down. And where we look in and we see the state of our too often loveless hearts. This psalm has thrilling, incredible, wonderful good news for us. That in God there is strength, and that in God through Jesus Christ there is love. And my prayer this week has been that this psalm might thrill us and move us and fix us again on God's strong love in the Lord Jesus. A love you and I need, a love King David needed and knew. It says in the title of the psalm, beg your pardon, I'm looking ahead to Psalm 63, that David's in the desert. Actually, we don't know David's circumstances. We just know that they were stressful and difficult and demanding. And there is some detail which comes later on. We don't know what one another's circumstances are this morning. But stress and difficulty in our lives, pressure, can lead either to praise or it can lead to grumbling. We need to make very sure that the Holy Spirit uses these words and leads our hearts to praise rather than grumbling. Let's look at this psalm under a few headings. And firstly, let's see what I want to call in verse 1, the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. That's a phrase which I'm lifting from Romans chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul talks about the obedience of faith. And faith is a command. It's often in Scripture an invitation, an encouragement, but it's always a command. God has sovereign authority to command you and me, whatever we're going through in life, to trust Him, to believe in His goodness, in His Son, the Lord Jesus. And David is responding to that command. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. So my soul finds rest in God alone. You might be working this one with a different translation, and it might say something like, my soul waits patiently in God. It seems like if you've got those different translations, the translators are running in different directions, because finds rest on the one side and waits patiently don't seem like the same thing, do they? But I invite you to think about that for a moment. We don't like waiting. We feel like waiting is what we need to go through before we can rest. But actually with God, that's not the case at all. We are waiting patiently for His answers in life, but while we're waiting patiently for those answers, we're resting. We're resting in who God is, in His love and utter trustworthiness in Christ. And that's the obedience of faith, isn't it? We're not going to sigh, mope, groan, obsess, fixate until God answers our prayers. Because those emotions would question whether we're really trusting. So here's a challenge to Hope Church this morning. Does Hope Church know that God is so good, so wise, so reliable, that even when we're not yet experiencing the answers for our prayer, the relief for our anguish, we're really resting in Him. Our hearts are patiently fixed upon Him. When so much in life feels so wrong and is so hard. That's the obedience of faith. Father, You've not given me that answer to prayer, but I'm trusting You. And I'm learning not to fixate and obsess. And I'm learning not to complain and grumble and sigh. I'm receiving Your presence. I'm trusting in Your promises. And that is hard. And if you don't think it's hard, you don't know much about it. It is hard. It is a discipline of the soul. It is an obedience. Trusting God when life is tough and the answers don't come. To trust that God has still given everything that He is to us, Father, Son, and Spirit, and is calling us to rest in His sufficient love when life is hard. Can I remind you of the invitation and the command of the Lord Jesus to do a Psalm 62 verse 1 to find rest in God alone? What does Jesus say? Famous, treasured, sanity-bringing words. Matthew 11 verses 28 to 30. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what He says. That's what He offers. In loving authority, that's what He commands. The one who was broken for us on the cross and raised to life through the resurrection says, "Find rest in me alone. Rest from your sins. Rest from your stress. Rest." And so we obey Him. And we obey Him because we really know we need to. Because in the second observation for us to see this morning, we live in a wicked world. A world which is tough. A world which does not give us rest. And there are two places where David explores the great contrast to the God who would be his fortress. So look at verses 3 to 4, please. His eyes on his enemies, those who want to assault him, to throw him down, those who may think, David, he's about as secure as a leaning wall or a fence which is about to blow over. What do they want to do? David says, verse 4, they want to topple him. He's in a lofty place. God has raised him up with God's favor. God has anointed him and set him apart to be the king. And there's a lot in the human heart which hates other people's success or particular signs of God's favor and goodness. And people want to snipe, to criticize, to cut down with words, to kick down with actions. And David is feeling the reality of that. He sees around him insincere people delighting in lies, verse 4, double-tongued people, blessing with their mouths, cursing in their hearts. That is the world David lived in. That is the world you and I are called to live in. The world we are called to navigate, not using the same weapons. But we're called to navigate this world with faith in God. I've been reflecting a lot the last month on Proverbs 30, verse 5. Let me commend that wonderful promise to you. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. When our words aren't flawless, when people's words aren't flawless, every word of God is flawless. And he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And friends, we've just got to experience that. I can encourage you to take God as that refuge and shield. You can encourage me to do the same. But when pressure's on, there's the challenge. Will we find the shield that God is? And that was David's challenge when he felt overwhelmed and stressed and inadequate. And then he has a challenge for those who are attacking him and for us. If you look down to verses 9 to 10, the lowborn are just a breath. They're just going to vanish one day. And the highborn, well, the things a highborn might feel secure about, smug about, powerful about, those values are but, David says, a lie. But they don't look a lie, do they? We're terribly impressed by the highborn, the successful, the powerful. David says, go to God's scales. Go to God's justice. If God were to put the lies of the powerful, the important on his balance, would he be impressed? As we are so often impressed. They're nothing. David says, they together, the rich and the poor, the privileged and disadvantaged, are just the same in God's sight and in God's scales of justice. Their breath, their vapor and mist. So don't be like them, verse 10. Open your eyes to temptations. It might not be actual extortion for you and me. We might not have a tendency and a temptation to steal. But we like to steal God's glory, don't we? And God's praise. We like to gain much in life and give away little. We do expect that other people owe us an awful lot, God most of all. But we don't feel much of a debt of obligation to our Creator and Saviour and to our neighbour we're commanded to lay our lives down for. So David is looking out on a wicked world, and we should as well. But we should reckon with our wicked hearts. And think, how good is this God who offers himself as a shield, a rock and a fortress, and would have even us, even me, and call me to trust in him and discover his strength and his love. Don't set your heart on your riches, verse 10. Set them instead, thirdly, on our wonderful God. So the images, the pictures, we saw some of these as David showed us them in Psalm 61 just last week. But look at our wonderful God in verse 2. He alone in a wicked world is my rock, is my salvation, is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. And bring alongside those images and promises and convictions, verse 6. He alone, it's repetition, is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. I shall not be shaken. But we're all shaken in life, aren't we? Horrible things happen to all of us. There will be in Kabul Airport Christians who have waded through that open sewer with blood and human flesh in it. And they are desperately waiting for deliverance. Perhaps they have not told a living soul they are Christians, followers of Jesus. And they will most likely die. Their breaths will be shaken, maybe violently, from them. Have God's promises failed? Have God's promises failed to you if you're known great pain, upheaval, loss, trauma, loneliness? God dares to say no. God dares to have the authority to lead us into and through whatever circumstances he sovereignly ordains, without apology. And we can look to this God this morning, however awful life is, however appalling it is for brothers and sisters across the world, and we can say together, he is my rock. He is my fortress. We will not ultimately, eternally be shaken. Why? Because Jesus is the rock who was split. He is the fortress who was stormed and broken down the cross. He was given no refuge, no physical safety, as his body and his spirit were torn apart as he died in our place on the cross. And because he died and because he rose again, God has declared that he is good, he is faithful. His ways are not our ways. But through Christ's death and resurrection, he has made the way for us to say, God is my fortress. The world, life will shake me. My faith is often shaken. But God's love in Jesus Christ is eternally unshakable. So I trust him. It was William Barclay who wrote many commentaries on the Bible. Not always the best guide, but in some ways a good guide. He famously said these words. He said, Jesus promised his disciples three things. Many of you have heard these. He promised his disciples three things. That they will be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. I'll say that again. Three things we have been promised, according to William Barclay, from Jesus. We'd be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. And we smile and we think, yeah, I think I can match that with some of the things Jesus said, especially on his last night on earth, recorded in the Gospel of John. But we're often completely fearful, absurdly gloomy, and we don't know what it means to be in trouble for Jesus. And we wonder why our faith is so weak and the refuge seems so small. Because we don't trust him. We don't move into a radical, risk-taking, sacrificing, embracing life, which will get us into trouble, but where we'll discover the joy of the Lord, and where we'll have a fear we've never experienced before, which is not of ourselves, but is the power of the Holy Spirit. So, dear friends, can I urge you, please, more faith. Faith which really takes God at his word, really embraces the cross, and is really open to the comfort and the strength and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Here, please, in verse 8, the call to faith. The call to faith, as we're learning often in a psalm or an Old Testament story, the climax is not at the end, it's in the middle. And David here can look out from his pressure and exhort us, call us to faith. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. David is saying, he's my refuge, but I'm not going to be private about this. David is not saying, well, God is right for me, but for you there might be something else which is your refuge. If God is God in Jesus Christ, he is the hope of the world, the refuge for every single one of us, however different we are, personality, background, temperament, struggles, pressures. We must all of us call out to him, cry out to him, trusting in him at all times, with all of our heart, and trusting in all that God is to us in Jesus Christ, and discovering personally he is trustworthy. Last week I attended online. I was desperate to get there in person but couldn't. I attended online the funeral of a 32-year-old. And I'd first met her when she was nearly 3. Born with a chronic health condition which was always going to be life-limited. She outlived the doctor's prognosis by years and years and years. But all of her years, especially the latter ones, were filled with acute physical pain. And of course, with great mental and emotional distress and entire months of acute spiritual battle. A shining, shining Christian young lady, but called to incredible depths of suffering and hardship in her short life of faith. Her father spoke at her funeral service. The most moving and thrilling and faith-affirming words. And he said of his daughter, he said that her convictions were that life boils down in essence to two things. Tell the truth. Be grateful. Wow, isn't that simple? Isn't that good? Can't you take hold of that? Could you as a Christian person always, like this young lady now in glory, could you always tell the truth? And the truth about God in Jesus Christ. He is so loving, so good, so reliable. When life is dark and sad, he can be utterly trusted. And could you live a life with Jesus as your rock and refuge, which is telling other people how good he is? And then could you be not complaining, refusing to moan, refusing to dwell on the what ifs and the yes buts, but just accepting your Father's wise ordering of your life and his loving provision in every circumstance and the strengthening of your heart through the Holy Spirit, so that moment by moment, your life is actually an outpouring of gratitude to God and thankfulness that he is your refuge. That is a big calling. That is a challenging, demanding calling to pour out your hearts to him, to bring all your hope to him, all your pain,
all your difficulties, but to live before God with no barriers, with no pretense, with no avoidance. But in the language of verse 1, to find rest, which is to wait patiently in the presence of God, slowed down, alert to who He is, humble, awe-filled, naked, vulnerable, trusting, expectant, available, worshipping. What a life your life would be. What lives we could live if we only heard the call of God to find rest. As we finish, would you just please hear again that certain word in verses 11 to 12? Our translation, if we're thinking about it, sounds a bit odd, that God has said one thing, we've heard two. What does that mean? There's no echo in the room. But our translators, I think, are trying to convey this idea. God's spoken once, but I've kept on reflecting for my soul's good on what God says, which is the only way to listen to God, isn't it? Thoughtfully, meditatively, carefully. What have our souls heard this morning? The very comforting word which David heard and entrusted himself to, that God is strong and that God is loving in Jesus Christ. God marks our suffering. He marks our sacrifices. He rewards us, the wicked and the good. He sees, He notes, He will punish, He will lavish reward. And the best thing for us as Christians, we get the reward of Jesus. We're accepted by God the Father through our faith in Christ alone. And the glory which Jesus even now enjoys is the glory which is even now breaking into our lives with the presence of God, but one day will be enjoyed in full. God's strong love. So let's trust Him, let's worship Him, and let's press on to our eternal home. I'll pray, we'll pray, I'll hand back to David. Oh God, we entrust our hearts, our battles and our struggles to your strong love in the Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, where you speak, but our hearts are too restless, too obsessing with our problems and desires to hear you. And too stubborn or scared to find the refuge of your love in Jesus. Lord, you've been dealing with us in these moments together this morning. Continue to deal with us as you work your word into our feelings and attitudes and habits and desires and words, that we might all of us know more deeply what it means to find rest in a restless world in a wonderful God. Thank you for your love in Jesus. We entrust him and all of your struggling people to your care in Christ. Amen.